Good morning, church family. We'd like to welcome you to the services this morning at the Etheridge Church. We hope you are doing well. We'd like to take just a few moments on this day to remember our moms. And at this time, we'd like to wish all of our moms a happy Mother's Day. I can remember as a small boy growing up when I was attending church at Leoma, that a lot of the older members of the church would be dressed up, and they would have either a red flower or a white flower on their lapel or on their blouse when they came to church. And I'd ask my mom what this would mean. And she explained to me that the red flower was in honor of their mom, and it meant that she was still living. And if it was a white flower, it was in honor of their mom, but it meant that they had passed. And I always thought this was a neat tradition and something from my childhood that I always remembered. And every time I thought of Mother's Day, that was what it would bring me back to. So this morning, I would like for us to take time and wish our moms a happy Mother's Day. My mom passed a little over a year ago. So in that case, I would be a white flower. And being a white flower would mean that my mom has passed from this earth. But to honor her, I would think back upon the things which my mom had done for me and remember all the little things and how much I miss her and things like that. If you would happen to be a red flower this morning, I would like to encourage you to take time to go by and see your mom if you can go see her. If not, be sure and give her a call and wish her a happy Mother's Day. But during this pandemic, if you happen to be at home this morning and you're a young child or whatever and your mom is there, it would be a nice time for you just to walk over, sit beside of her, or even if you're younger, crawl up in her lap and look at them and say, "Mom, I love you," on this Mother's Day. But at this time, I'd like for you to think about that and honor your mom the best way you can as we begin our worship service here this morning.
If you will, bow with me if we go to God in prayer. Lord God in heaven, we come to you this day in a humble manner. We praise your holy name. You are the great creator from whom all blessings come. You know our needs before we ask. We want to thank you, Lord, for loving us when we don't deserve your love. Most of all, Father, we want to thank you for sacrificing your Son, Jesus, to make a way for our sins to be forgiven. Father, we are weak, but you are strong. Help us be mindful of your love as we strive to obey from the heart all your decrees, and that our faith may grow and that we might be able to spread the gospel to others. We thank you for your word that guides us and the encouragement that comes from it. We ask you that you will bless us and bless the sick and restore them. You are the great physician. Continue to walk with us every day. In Jesus' holy name, this we pray.
This morning's scripture reading is going to be coming from James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If anything you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed to the wind. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving power, hear my plea, my feeble plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Before the Lord's Supper this morning, my Jesus, I love thee. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
As we prepare to take the Lord's Supper, I thought I would take a look back at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26 and verse 38, we read that Jesus said that my soul is sorrowful even to death. When we go to Luke 22 verse 42, Jesus says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then in verse 43, we read where an angel from heaven appears to him. You know, when we go to Matthew 4, and we read the temptation of Jesus, we know that angels, when he was done with it, angels came and ministered to him or attended to him. But here in Gethsemane, the Bible says that an angel comes to strengthen him. He's being strengthened not only from what he had gone through, but obviously for what he was fixing to go through. This battle, this mental, this spiritual battle was not over. I don't guess that I will ever completely be able to comprehend what Jesus went through in Gethsemane. In verse 44, after the angel had appeared to him, it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you and give you all praise for all things. Thank you, Father, for being so good to us. But especially now, Father, we thank you for Jesus, the life that he lived, and his willingness to do your will and to give his life for us, Father. And now we take this bread that represents that body that was given for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The Gospel of John records that during the arrest of Jesus, that Peter drew his sword. And then when we compare the Gospels, we know that Peter cut the ear off one of the high priest's servants, and his name was Malchus. Then we also know, I guess it's in the Gospel of Luke, that Jesus touched his ear and healed him. When we go to Matthew chapter 26, let's start in verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scripture be fulfilled?" You know, when we look up the term legion, we know that it's anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 angels. So Jesus had this power to call more than 72,000 angels if he wanted. When we turn over to Matthew 27, starting in verse 37. "And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You, who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" Can you imagine to have the power to stop it, but instead you were obedient to the Father and you stay on the cross? Imagine our Lord and our Savior doing that for us, and that is true power. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again we come to you. Again, Father, we thank you for Jesus, who was willing to go through that mental and spiritual anguish in Gethsemane, to go through the arrest, and then be killed, even death on a cross, Father. As we take this cup and remember that blood that was shed, Father, just help us to remember in a way that is fitting for Jesus. And Father, all we can do again is say thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now that we've completed the Lord's Supper and we get ready to give, let's turn to Matthew 6. You know, when we look at the Sermon on the Mount, you know, well, if we go to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, can you imagine being listening to this sermon for the first time? It actually, these folks had their jaws have to drop to hear these teachings that Jesus said. You know, in verse 28 of chapter 7, it says, "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching as one with authority." You know, it starts with the Beatitudes, and then it ends with building your faith on a rock. When we go to chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for blessing us so much. Thank you for the church that you've established. Be with us, Father, as we give, and just help us to give of whether it's money, whether it's giving of ourselves to help our neighbor, whatever it may be, Father. Help us to give with a cheerful heart and to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for part two of our worship this morning. Before Ben speaks to us, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Morning, church. This morning I'm going to use my time a little differently. In my mind, I see it as four blocks of my lesson today. It's not four points, but four blocks, if you will, and we'll work through these together. First, I want to talk to all of you now that are gathered in your home. There are many people in the world right now today that are experiencing something maybe they haven't experienced before. Maybe you wake up one day and you are just gung-ho. You want to clean everything. You want to do all of this work, get all this work done, and then you find yourself waking up the next day with just absolutely no energy, no motivation, or no drive whatsoever. And what we are experiencing can cause this in people easily. And what we have to pay attention to in these times, I want you to know that as we all walk through this, and not all of the hashtags in this together and all that kind of thing and all the commercials that are talking about this, as God's family, this is a very unique time for us because we haven't had an opportunity to really figure out yet in all of this how we can maintain that fellowship and keep up one another's spirits and exhort and encourage one another. But I want you to know that you are not alone. We are all experiencing that to some level in our lives right now. This is not a battle that you are fighting personally in your mind, but there are all of us walking in this together. And also, when I think about this, I think about, too, all of the people that have been diagnosed with sicknesses during this time, not just COVID, but I think about like Pam Davis, one of our people here who has been diagnosed with breast cancer. She's actually had surgery and gone back, and now she has found out she's going to have some chemo and radiation. And I think she's not alone. There are so many others that we've had loss or death and the unique funerals and all of that. And in this time, as we experience all this together, we need to remember the idea of the path that is before us. We may not always see the end. This is an Henri Nouwen quote. We may not always see the end, but there's usually enough light to see the next step. And then we just have to put our faith in God for guidance. I want to say a prayer for strength, and for courage, and for hope first this morning. Let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name in all the earth. Lord, we bow before you today. The day that we worship you and sing praises to you, Lord. And we come before you asking for strength and courage and hope. Fill our hearts with it, Lord. Understanding again that we may not see the end of this path, but we know that we can walk today as you strengthen us in this moment. And Father, as we all fight loneliness, some depression, Father. Help us to see a light at the end of the tunnel. Again, though we may not see the end of the path, we can see that the end of the path will come. Father, for all of the people in our congregation that are grieving right now a loss of a family member or friend, we pray also for you to encourage them and give them strength, Father. Embrace them only as you can. And we also, Father, want to pray for the sick of our congregation that are walking in this unique time in a unique way. Father, help us as a family to encourage them in ways that we can through calls, texts, letters. Father, help us to constantly lift these people up. And Father, give these people strength. Encourage them, Lord. Give them joy and also give them hope to see the end of the path or the next step, Father. This is our prayer this morning in your Son's name. Amen. The next block I want to take time. There are a couple of things that have come into my life the last 2 weeks that have reminded me that it's way past time that I reminded you of the invitation of God. God's invitation is not something a preacher offers at the end of a sermon. We do that traditionally, not just here, but in all Christian beliefs. They offer the invitation traditionally at the end of a sermon because it is convenient. But the Lord's invitation is open at all times. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even during a pandemic, even during quarantine of a pandemic. The Lord's invitation is open. We here at Etheridge have poured our hearts, our minds, and our souls into the Word of God, and we seek a clear path to Jesus' blood and redemption. We believe that we need to hear the story. We need to believe the story. We need to confess that we see Jesus for who and what he is. We need to be immersed into water, washing away the old self, burying the old self, raised to walk a new life as a new person, and remaining faithful as we move forward in our life with God. That invitation is always open. All you need to do is find any member of this congregation, and they will direct you either in Scripture what you need to do, or they will direct you to someone who knows the Scripture well enough to teach you from the Bible what it is you need to do. And we will make this happen in that situation. Also, in a situation where you may be a member of the Lord's church, but yet walking in error, and you need to get that right, then we always have that opportunity, whether it be privately or if you want us to, as we come here to the church to announce that to the people here and pray for you. God gives mercy to those who seek it. And we wanted to remind, you as a congregation today that this is something that I'm not always great at, but I want you to understand it is always open. It is not me that offers this invitation, but God who offers that invitation. And we want to walk you to Jesus and let you make that decision in your life. And when you have that decision made, please seek one of us and we'll do everything we can to aid you in that situation. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father who art in heaven, how great is your name. Father, we again come before your throne seeking an understanding and seeking the seed that we have sown to be given growth or increase, as the Scriptures say, that only you can give. Lord, if there are those people who are seeking answers, help us to find those people. If there are those people out here wanting to do something but lacking courage, Father, we pray courage in that situation. If there are those of our members who have sinned but yet still fear the outcome of making it known, Lord, give them courage also. We as a family of God know that stumbling is sometimes, if not often, a part of our lives. Help us to walk in the light and to seek the grace that you give through your Son daily. This is our prayer this morning in your Son's name. Amen. As we begin to think about block three, I wanted to tell you that last year at this same time, I told you that I did not buy Anna Reed a Mother's Day gift because Anna Reed is not my mother. You would not believe the text messages that I received, the personal confrontations where people wanted to instruct me in a better way, in a better understanding of the situation. So I want everyone's mind to be at ease. I purchased Anna Rita a gift for Mother's Day this year. I'm way ahead of the game. I even did it before Saturday. Now, I don't know if she wants the gift or not, but due to the storms and the high winds and the trees blowing down, I got her a chainsaw. That joke is funny to me because I would never buy my wife a tool that she could end up asking me to use. I want you this morning to think for a minute about mothers and beyond. I watched recently a documentary about Fred Rogers and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And there is a section at the end where all of the people that were associated with him during his life talked about how he would give a graduation speech. Now, I think I've probably said this to you guys before, but I want to do this morning. I want to take this seriously. I want us to take this minute. But I want to give you the quote from the show, and then I want to give you that minute to think about it before we move into block four. Fred Rogers often said his mother would, in any given circumstance, remind him to always look for people who are helping. And from the time we were very little, there have been people who have helped us. They've smiled us into smiling, talked us into talking, and sung us into singing, and loved us into loving. Right now, for 1 minute, I want you to think about someone who has helped you along the way. Think about someone in your life who has helped you. They may be in the room with you right now. They may be far away. They may be in heaven with Jesus. But no matter where they are, they always wanted what was best for you. They loved you beyond measure. They always taught you to be true to the best that is within you. Would you pray with me, please? Father, this morning we are so grateful for the people in our lives who have helped. Not people that have given up or cast judgment, Lord, but people that have given of their love and their time, and they've helped. Lord, we know that we all need help. Thank you so much for those kind souls who could see past a bad day or bad judgment. Those people that loved and loved truly. Lord, we will never be able to repay the things that they have done for us, nor will we ever be able to repay the thing that you have done for us and the gift of your Son. You helped us like no one else could. And for this, Father, we are eternally grateful. This we pray in your Son's name. Block four. Remembering has always been something important to God. He is constantly telling them to remember. And we see at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, right before the people are turned over to the leadership of Joshua and the death of Moses is to occur, God speaks with Moses and he says numerous times to tell the people to be strong and courageous. And he also reminds them to remember. Remember what he has done and remember who he is. Because he keeps saying, I'm afraid. God says, I'm afraid when you move into houses you did not build. When you drank the bounty from the vineyard that you did not grow. When you reap the harvest of the fields that you did not plant. That you will forget me. And God is trying to give this message to his people to remember. The Hebrew people would develop in several, it's about 4 to 5 different chapters in the first 5 books of the Bible. They would develop what was known as the Hebrew Shema. And this word means hear, listen, remember. And it starts out, the Hebrew Shema starts out in Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is something that was so important to them. I've oftentimes said to you that this is Jesus loves me to the Hebrew people. This would have been the first song that they would have learned to sing. Deuteronomy 6:1-9 reads, "These are the commandments, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and the children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all the decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy a long life. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God of your ancestors promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." God teaches his people that they are to remember and they are to pass it on. When we get to the book of Hebrews, and we follow this line of thought in the Hebrew rhetoric in chapters 1 through 10, we finally get to chapter 12. And in chapter 12, we've just come out of the hall of faith in chapter 11. And we get to chapter 12, and it is the culmination of the hall of faith, as is oftentimes called. And we see that the end of this hall of faith is Jesus. But before we say Jesus, the Bible says these words in Hebrews 12:1. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." We also can find strength and courage and hope to pass the message on by the people that came before us. Those people in any given circumstance that helped. The people that taught us what faith was, not by teaching us a doctrine or a dogma, but by the life that they led and the life of faith that they lived. As it came off of them and it made an impact in our lives. The people they were, the uniqueness, or the New Testament word maybe, the peculiarness of these people and how they helped us. 2 Timothy 1:1-5. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as day and night I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you." Not everyone in my listening audience this morning has children. But every one of us has had a mama. Now that may not necessarily be biological, but you've had someone in your life that filled that role, that someone that nurtured you, that loved you. Maybe it was hard on you. Maybe made sure that your ears were clean and you had clean underwear. Maybe disciplined you when daddy wasn't around. Maybe he gave you chores. Maybe drove you all over the world. Maybe made meals for you. Washed your clothes. Loved you when you were unlovable. Taught you about faith. Today is the day that we remember our mothers. it's a day that we should do more often. A day that we remember there were people that at some point in the past put us and our needs before them. And in so doing, we're teaching us a principle that Paul tried to teach the Philippians. Do nothing out of vain conceit or selfishness, but considers others' needs more important than your own. Every time I read that verse, I think about mamas. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we are so grateful today for your story and our part in it. And Lord, as we think back over your story and our part in it, Father, there have been so many people along the way that have helped. And Father, as we take this time in our nation today to think about moms, we are grateful today also, Lord, for our moms. For the love and the life model that they gave us in our life. For their help. Father, we just want to say thank you for that today. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Close this morning with thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, and thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please reveal your will for me so I can serve you for eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold of it today. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Have a great week.